what he did for me. He bore sin, shame, gave me his name. That's what he did for me. God so loved me, gave his son. Now that I believe, life for me has begun. Cleansed me from wrong, gave me this song. That's what he did for me. God so loved me, gave his son. Now that I believe, life for me has begun. Cleansed me from wrong, gave me this song. That's what he did. That's what he did.
Open your Bible to Luke chapter 8 this evening. Luke chapter 8, we're in the Gospel of Luke this morning. We'll be there again tonight. Luke chapter 8, two verses. And we'll look here and we'll give you some other scriptures that will go with the message in just a moment or two. Luke chapter 8, verse number 7. Give you a second, Matthew, Mark, and then, of course, that third book in your New Testament, Luke chapter 8. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. We're going to read here. Follow along. I'll read verse number 7. This is, of course, in the middle of the story that Jesus told about the sower, the seed, and the soil. He says in verse 7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it." Now look at verse 14. Jesus gives the understanding of that. "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." So I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of get in the thorn-pulling business. Get in the thorn-pulling business. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Now, I pray that you would help us open our eyes that we might, Lord, behold wondrous things from your book. And then, Father, I believe it's partly our responsibility and work with the Holy Ghost to prepare the ground of our heart to receive the truth from your book. So help us tonight as we'll be talking about that very subject. And may this truth, your word, bring forth fruit to perfection in our lives because we've received it properly. And we'll thank you for it. Help us. Give us that touch that only you can give, and that brings life to truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and be seated. If you were going to use an earthly common fact of nature to illustrate eternal truth, I'm not sure that you could do any better, that you could improve at all on what Jesus used when he told the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. The sower went out to sow, and he sowed the seed, and as he sowed the seed, it fell on different types of ground. Such a simple, well-known, common fact of nature. You got a man planting seed, and the resulting harvest from that planting depends on the type of seed on which, the type of soil on which the seed is sown. My wife and I traveled out there to Grand Junction, Colorado. Everywhere we went was a 2 to 3 hour drive. If you ever go out west, and I had forgotten what that one vacation we took, you drive and drive and drive and drive forever. It was 2 hours from the airport in Grand Junction to Moab, Utah. And while we're driving into, it was dark, but we left in the dark. We arrived in the dark. It takes forever to get anywhere out that direction. And the next morning, I thought to myself, man, I've been here. I've seen this. And it is where all the cowboy and Indian movies of the past were filmed. It's right next to that Arches National Park, where you have that, is it sandstone, that red rock, and it has those arches that are formed by the wind and erosion and rain, and it's really beautiful. But honestly, it's like, man, all the John Wayne movies, all the Hopper, you can see them riding across the desert there. You can see it. And brother, I'm going to tell you, acres and acres and acres and miles and miles and miles of sagebrush and scrub oak. And I'm telling you, you see maybe six cows grazing on hundreds of acres because there's nothing for them to eat. It's all that clayish, rocky, nasty type soil. There's a reason why they call the Midwest the breadbasket of America. And I was reminded about that gumbo, that dark, fertile, black soil of Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, and how the crops grow here. And, you know, when I was a boy in Georgia, we had Georgia clay. And it's a different kind of ground out there than clay, similar. It's really beautiful, but boy, oh boy, it doesn't grow a thing. It's good to shoot movies on, but that's about it. And ride your horses, but that's about it. But I'm telling you, we work through that soil down in Georgia every year, Dad and us boys trying to grow a garden and always do it a compost to try to put some nutrients into the soil so it would produce something. So much of the harvest depends on the type of soil where the seed is planted, okay? So Jesus told this parable to illustrate the different responses that truth would receive as it fell on the hearts of men. He did not tell this story to teach us about agriculture. He told this story to example for us the different responses to truth, to God's truth as it goes forth. And those responses all depend on what kind of soil the truth falls on. And in my opinion, I've kind of thought about this over the years. I really think here this is not just about salvation. This is about truth. Because in His explanation of the parable, Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God, of course, contains the message of salvation, but it contains much more than that. There's a lot more to the Word of God than just the message of salvation. The message of salvation is the primary message of the Bible. But it contains so much more besides just the message of salvation. As truth goes out, the seed is sown. By the way, there's nothing wrong with the seed. Okay? And the seed that the sower took out was the same seed. He didn't change bags. He was reaching into the same sack, sowing the same seed. The sower is the same person. The only difference, as far as elements go, involved in this story, the only difference was in the types of ground or soil that the seed fell on. It fell on wayside ground. I'm not going to preach on all this tonight. Wayside ground, it just laid there, and the birds of the air came and devoured the seed before it had a chance to take root. And that's what happens to truth sometimes. I believe that it's possible for a saved person to have wayside ground for a heart. Saved people listen. Sometimes they don't listen. Sometimes, this is somebody that sits in church and stares at the wall. And the seed, the truth, is sown, but there's... the devil comes and snatches the seed before it has a chance to do anything. It's gone. Because we're thinking about a bank account, or we're thinking about what I got to do at work tomorrow. We're thinking about, I can't believe she said that to me, and I can't believe he did that to me. And before you know it, the sermon's over, and what was that all about? And birds of the air came and took the seed away. Fired up. And by the way, the birds of the air reference the demons and devils and Satan. Believe me, friend, believe me. The last thing he wants is for the potential of this book to be realized in our lives. Snatches it away. Then there's the stony ground, the rocky ground. It's hard. It's hard. And, there's no real depth of earth there. there might be enough depth of earth for it to kind of spring up, but boy, then the rain comes and the heat and the different elements and it withers away. There was never a root system that went down deep because the ground was hard. And sometimes the seed goes forth from the pulpit, the seed goes forth in the Sunday school class, the seed goes forth from something over the radio, a radio broadcast, the seed goes forth, and it falls on hard hearts. Hard hearts. Now, I don't know. You know, it is absolutely, and after 37 and a half years of being in ministry, I've learned one thing. It's very hard to discern the condition of a person's heart. Sometimes you're fooled, sometimes you're not, sometimes you're fooled. I really, you know, I felt like God gave me that message for this morning. I felt like it was necessary for our church at the specific time for our church, but I felt like in some ways it fell on hard ground this morning. Just a hard, I'm not moving, I'm not budging on this matter. That made my heart sad. Folks, you have to be careful that you don't get hard to truth. Even truth that you don't care for. It's got potential to bring forth fruit in your life. Okay? So be careful. So it goes, then there's the thorny ground. I'll talk about the thorny. Then there's the good ground. The good ground is the ground that's all, you know, it's made up, it's weeded, the rocks are out, it's got depth of ground, depth of dirt, and it brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, those are the four different kinds of ground. Rather than go into great detail, just a short synopsis there about those four different kinds of ground, I want to talk tonight about this third type of ground, this thorny ground. The sower sowed seed, and some fell on soil that Jesus described as among thorns. You see that in verse 7? Some fell among thorns. And then in his explanation, he said in verse number 14 that the seed fell on ground that was full of thorns, and the thorns and the good seed grew together. And as they grew together over time, the thorns choked the good seed, and there was no fruit brought to perfection, no fruit brought to maturity. Jesus said that was like people whose hearts receive the good seed, but it doesn't ever bear any fruit to maturity because the heart is choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So the thorns are the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. He made that clear. We don't have to speculate what the thorns are. The thorns are the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life. And there are saved people, people who are born again people, who never fully mature as a child of God. And it's not that the heart, it's not that they don't listen. They're not wayside ground. It's not hard ground. They receive it, but they never deal with the thorns. They never deal with the thorns. And because there's thorns in the heart, they never mature as a child of God. The Bible doesn't bring that fruit. That fruit-bearing potential is in the Word of God. This book has fruit-bearing potential for every person. Matthew and Mark both say the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word. Mark also adds the lusts of other things. Now again, folks, the only difference in this parable is the soil. That's the only difference. Same seed, same sower. The soil represents the heart of men. The heart responds to the Word, responds to the truth. And it is a response of the heart to the Word of God that Jesus is talking about here. Now, probably all of us who have gardened, all of us who have planted flowers, all of us who have tried to sow grass seed have experienced this very situation. Let's use a garden as an example, okay? You prepare the soil, and you think you've got it all prepared. But folks, what is there in that soil? Seeds of weeds. They're there, okay? And you plant the plant, and you watch over it, and pretty soon the little seeds sprout, and the plants begin to grow. But guess what comes up right with the plants? The weeds. And to me, the most unpleasant task of gardening is weeding. I don't mind planting. I don't mind picking. Because picking means eating, and I like to eat. I don't mind going out there and spraying with Seven or other some kind of herbicide if there's bug spray, you know, if there's bugs, if it's necessary. I don't mind, but boy, I hate weeding. And it just is a blessing when I'm out of town and the garden needs to be weeded. And somebody else has to do it. Those weeds grow up with the plants. Now, this has probably happened to you. It's happened to me. If we don't stay on top of the weeds, at some point, it gets away from us. For whatever reason, we don't stay on top of it. We don't keep up with that weeding soon, and I might add, very soon. Because it seems like those weeds, you know, that's what happens. Those weeds grow up, and they overtake the good plants. And those weeds, the good plants get very little sun. And the weeds are absorbing the bulk of the moisture that's in the soil. And there's no fruit to the weed. They're noxious, they're not pretty, they're just nothing you can do with them. Although I think it was, my grandmother used to make some kind of saddle out of dandelions. And I think dandelion is a weed, but Meemaw used to make dandelion stuff. And it was not bad. It was pretty good, really. I mean, I think we only had it once or twice. But most of the time, weeds aren't much good for eating. They're noxious. And if you're not, I had a situation like this with my strawberry. I have a box bed with strawberry plants in it. And last year, it got away from me. And it was a box bed of the most beautiful weeds you'd ever seen in your life. I would go out there and look at it, and it was so depressing. Because where are the strawberry plants? I couldn't even, and I picked not one strawberry out of that bed. Not one. Not one. Because the weeds in this spring, boy, that's a nice sounding word, isn't it? Spring. Boy, that's a nice sounding word. This spring, I'll have to deal with that box bed full of weeds. I'm probably just going to have to take the whole, all of it out and start over again. Now, that's what Jesus is saying here. The Word of God falls on a heart. And when it falls on a heart, it falls among thorns. And the Word of God springs up, takes root, and begins to, the plant begins to grow. But because the weeds are never pulled, they choke out the good word. And there's no fruit brought to perfection. So how does this relate to the Christian, the person who gets saved and never yet, you know, fully matures as a child of God? And that's a relative thing. I understand that. Now, we're not in that judging business. I don't, you know, so who's the most mature Christian at Faith Baptist Church? I don't know. I know one thing, it's not me, because my wife's a better Christian than I am. So I don't know who the most mature. That'll all be up to God to judge someday. Okay? But some Christians never mature as a child of God. What are the thorns that choke out the potential of God's Word? Well, Jesus didn't leave us, as I said earlier, to speculate. He told us what it is. It's worldliness. And listen again to the description of the thorns. Listen to what Jesus said. Not in just one place, but three of the Gospels. In Luke, it's cares and riches and pleasures of this life. In Mark, it's the cares of this world. It's the deceitfulness of riches. It's the lust, the strong desire of other things. In Matthew, it's the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. It's worldliness. It's worldliness in the sense of materialism. It doesn't sound to me like worldliness in the sense of drunkenness or drug addiction or immorality. It reads like worldliness in the sense of failing to live up to the command in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It sounds like worldliness in the sense of the explanation that John gave in 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. There are men who love sports more than they love God. Save men. Save women who love the things of this life more than they love God. It sounds like Paul's lament in 2 Timothy 4:11. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It sounds like 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, where Peter gives the list of seven graces that are supposed to be added to faith, to salvation, growing, producing, maturing. And Peter says, if these things are not added, if these things are not in you, we will be blind, we cannot see afar off, and we have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. That doesn't sound like maturity to me. Are you with me? It reads like Colossians 3, 1, 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. There are men who love the stock market more than they love God. Save men. This is what Jesus is teaching here. It reads like that. It reads like Luke 16:13, where Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. So who's that talking about? That's talking about every one of us that names the name of Christ. No servant can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The good seed and the thorns cannot grow up together and the good seed still produce fruit. Won't happen. You can't do that. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Now, folks, my point is this. This is not some, you know, once mentioned truth. There is a thread that runs all through the New Testament. Don't allow the love of this world to choke out the potential fruit-bearing power of God's Word. Pull the thorns out. Get rid of the thorns. Weed your heart. Make sure that you love God more than you love this world. What he's saying here. And it's not a one-time truth mentioned. It's mentioned over and over and over and over and over throughout the New Testament. We say, and I'm for it, we say amen, we nod our heads, we get it, but folks, do we live it? And it's a whole different ball game. You know, I'm really enjoying my meetings with the teenagers right now. We have 11 seniors in our church this year. And that's our school, other schools, homeschool, public school. And if I haven't gotten to you yet, I will. I've still got four or five young people to get to. And I've really enjoyed that. And one of the teenagers, what I ask about is their relationship with, I ask them their plans, their relationship with their Bible, their relationship with their parents. And I asked in the process of asking one of the young people about the Bible, they were so honest with me. They said, I read my Bible daily. I said, I wish I could tell you, Pastor. I'll tell you this, if I get something out of it, I find that, you know, it's very difficult for me to put it to practice. That was an honest statement. It's an honest statement. And folks, it's so easy to sit within the four walls of a church auditorium with an open Bible and good music and good fellowship and, amen, yes, we need to love God more than we love the world, and then go home and do it. Go home and do it. But the good seed of God's Word will never bring forth fruit to perfection if it's growing alongside the love of the world. Eventually, the love of... You cannot serve two masters. and possible. Now let's put this into practical 2018 life. Okay? So we hear a message from the Bible on Bible reading. Now we hear a message on the subject of Bible reading. So the seed of God's Word goes forth and it falls on thorny ground. Okay? We hear this. We understand the potential fruit that can come through consistently reading the Bible. But you know what that means, folks? You know what that requires? That requires time. And there are so many other things that your heart might enjoy doing. The internet is full of websites that you want to log on to. And there's Facebook. You think I hate Facebook. Listen, I don't hate Facebook. Facebook is like money. Money is a great servant. It's a terrible master. Facebook may be a good servant, but it's a horrible master. It's horrible. And you know, somebody has responded to a post and then 15 other people, and I don't know how it works, so if I sound ignorant, it's because I is. Then 15 people respond to a post, and so now you got to make sure you respond. And then there's Instagram, and there's Twitter, and all of those things need attention. And of course, there's always the television programs and the news, and there's the ever-present cell phone with text groups that's going off. And you know, Bible reading gets left out or half-heartedly attempted because I've got to get to these other things. My heart is drawn to those things instead of God's Word. What do I do? Rip it out. Pull the thorns. Find some way to sit down in a quiet place without the distraction of all these worldly things and get your nose in the book. You won't understand everything you read. But people, this book is like fire. Keep your heart hot if you just read it. You say, well, you know, yeah, that's me. But I still, no, folks, let me tell you something. If I just described your morning routine, you love the world more than you love God. That's all there is to it. We hear a message on prayer. On the potential fruit-bearing power of some kind of prayer life. But you know what? On the drive to work, there's the radio, and there's the score, and there's the MVP, and there's the ball games, and there's the ever-present cell phone, and prayer gets left out or half-heartedly attempted, and prayer potential is choked out. Folks, you know, when the good seed goes in, if it's going to produce, thorns have to come out. That's true about your garden. That's true about your flower bed. It won't produce if it grows up with the thorns. The thorns are going to take over. That's what Jesus is saying. You hear messages on child rearing. You hear Sunday school lessons on family. You hear messages or Sunday school lessons on marriage and family altar. But, you know, it's just, well, how do I get everybody together and at a time, and we got to do this, and we've got to be here, and we've got to plug this in, and we've got to answer this, and we've got to get on this thing, and we've got to get to this. And it's not just that we've got to do it, it's that our hearts want to do it. We long for it. Which means we love those things more than we love the things of God. You hear a message on church, the importance of being in church, services, but financially, you know, you can afford to enjoy getaways so regularly you're away from church services at church because, you know, you can be doing other things and on and on and on. Folks, look, the Christian life, God's Word will never bear full potential of fruit in our lives if we have to pull the thorns out. We have to. God's not going to do that for us. We got to pull the thorns out. It could be just the pursuit of money, the love of making money, the love of a growing portfolio, the love of accomplishment at work, And our Christianity is not going to interfere with my potential accomplishments at work. No, sir. So God and church and truth are over here, and you know, that's out of my way, and I'm at work. But folks, look, one of the greatest things I ever heard a preacher say was years ago when he said, before you have a responsibility to your employer, you have a responsibility to Jesus Christ. The thorns have to come out. They're there. The love of this world, it's in us. The seed is sown among the thorns, okay? A faithful Christianity is the result of pulling out the thorns and keeping the heart exposed to stimuli that keeps it soft and hot. It's ridding the life of worldliness so that the good seed can bring forth fruit. This has the potential. But as powerful as this book is, if the thorns don't come out, there's no fruit. You can buy the best seed money can buy. Burpees, Gurney, all these catalogs. Isn't it amazing? You get these catalogs and the pictures and you just go, oh, man. I mean, the lettuce heads are this big and the carrots are that long and they're orange. You look at that and you go, oh. You can invest in the most expensive seed in the world. I mean, the finest seed there is. But if you don't weed your garden, there'll be no fruit. Get in the thorn-pulling business. And like I said, this is not a truth that is isolated to one or two texts in the New Testament. It runs like a thread through the New Testament, through what Jesus taught, through what Paul taught. And it seems, folks, that ultimately it's more than just an individual problem. I think as you look at Revelation 3, it becomes a corporate problem because that last church, Laodicea, is lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. And the reason is the pursuit of love of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches have created this sickening tepidness in Christianity. And it's sickening because Jesus said, it's such a sickening thing, I'd like to spew you. It's like, ugh. And this is what happens if we're not careful. It permeates a church. It permeates an age. There never has been a time when the world has been so easily accessible to the child of God. The world is literally, folks, at our fingertips. Through the computer, through the internet, through television, the buttons on the remote, the radio. You can get bank account info, stock market info, gold and silver prices, Hollywood news, sports, games, all of it at the push of a button. It's accessible. And at some point in time, that thorn has to be yanked out. And I don't think it's a one-time thing. Do you weed your garden one time? Wouldn't that be a joy? You weed it, and you weed it, and you weed it, and you know what? The truth of the matter is, if you weed it enough, eventually the good plants become strong and roots are deep, and they're taking over. And when the fruit starts bearing, the weeds aren't near as much of a problem. But that takes effort and work and toil and labor. Get in the weed pulling business. Get the thorns yanked out of your heart. Look, they do not make weedless ground. Weeds are in the soil. They have to be dealt with. And there is a love for the things of this world that is in the heart of every one of us. Sometimes you look at a spiritual Christian who is bringing forth fruit in their life, and you say, well, he or she, they just don't have any interest. Yes, they do. They're like everybody else. They've just learned to yank those thorns out. Pull them. Pull them. Make sure the love of God and for God comes first. I don't know, somebody can correct me on this, but I don't know of a liquid that stays hot or increases in temperature without some kind of external stimuli. Now, maybe there is. Maybe they make a liquid like that. But for most liquids that are hot, to maintain a hotness, there has to be some external stimuli to keep it hot. There has to be attention to God's Word. There has to be attention to prayer. There has to be involvement. Involvement in a local New Testament church, not just sitting. Involvement, serving. There has to be stimuli that keeps our hearts hot. If not, folks, they become tepid, lukewarm. That's the nature of our humanity. And the good seed of God's Word will not grow up with those thorns. The thorns will overtake them, choke them out. The hot becomes cold or at least lukewarm. There has to be a continual stimuli. We've got to look to God, love God, live for God, serve God. We've got to seek Him first. First. For God's Word to bring perfection in our lives. This has to be tended to over and over and over again. I'm wondering tonight if good ground in the heart of a Christian can't be cultivated. Cultivated. It's almost a Calvinistic approach to this parable to say that the hearts of men are what they are and they cannot be changed. I happen to believe that good ground can be cultivated. If the heart of man can't be changed, then those who have wayside ground are doomed. But the Holy Spirit and this book right here, and the Bible talks in the Old Testament about breaking up the fallow ground. The ground that has sat unplowed for so long and the thorns and the scrub oaks and the bristles have overtaken. Plow up that fallow ground. I believe the Holy Spirit can take this book right here and plow up our hearts if we let Him. But folks, the love of this world has to constantly be yanked out and pulled out and sat on and dealt with. It's in us. Don't say it's not. It may not. The things of this world, different things of this world, entice different people in this room. Not everybody here is interested in sports. Not everybody here is interested in the working of money. Not everybody here is interested in fashion. But something in this world tugs at everybody. Everybody. And it may be okay in its place. It may be okay if it's kept about this big. But it's got to be continually weeded. Weeded. The heart has to be weeded and weeded so that this book can bring forth fruit to maturity, to perfection. You know what? Stay in business, I preached this morning. Stay in the thorn-pulling business. Stay active in making sure that you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And it's okay to have an interest in some of these things that are out here that aren't necessarily evil. You just make sure they stay in their place. Weed your heart. Pull the thorns out. And watch God's Word bring forth fruit to perfection. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the truth of this Scripture will go beyond what words I could use to enunciate the truth. I feel so frustrated at times, dear Lord, because I feel like so inadequate with my vocabulary, my thought processes, but I know that Your Spirit can effectively communicate to our hearts the truth of this passage. And God, I believe that each one of us who's honest would realize and admit tonight that the things of this world, something in this world tugs on us and pulls us. And God takes us away from a life of maturity as a Christian. We've got the good seed. We've got it. As it's sown on our hearts, God, help us to stay in the thorn-pulling business, please. I ask you to do that. Please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I just want to ask you to look for a moment into your heart. What is it in this world that grabs your affection? Come on, admit it. There's something. You know that. It may not be a bad thing. But if it's not in its place, it'll overtake even the good seed of God's Word and spoil the potential. Do you need to get in the thorn-pulling business tonight? Do you need to have a heart free of thorns so that God's Word will bring forth fruit? Do you need to be saved? If you're here tonight, you're not sure that heaven is your home. We have people that can take the Bible and show you how to become a child of God. Be saved. Get saved by receiving the good seed of God's Word, what it has to say about salvation and trusting Christ. And all that you have to do to be saved is come down here and tell this man, tell Brother Mick, I'd like to know for sure that I'm going to heaven. If you're not sure that you're saved, come tonight and be saved. If you need to be baptized, you come as soon as the music begins. If you're a child of God tonight and the Spirit of God brought the message to your heart about being in the thorn-pulling business, start pulling them. Rearrange the ground. Get the weeds pulled out of the way so that God's Word can bear fruit. And get the process started this evening. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. What is it? Get in the thorn-pulling business. While we wait tonight, the least thing we can do is just approach the Holy Spirit and ask Him to shed the light of truth on our hearts. Do we truly love God like we ought to? And folks, this type of thing just can't be fixed in 60 seconds at an altar. There has to be some plan. There has to be some action. There has to be a path to start down and follow and pull the thorns out. Pull the thorns out. And ask God to shine the light of His Word on what thorn needs to be yanked out of your heart. You know what? Just the piano playing. Maybe whatever that thing is that's got you. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm going to do away with that for 30 days. I'm not going to involve myself as much as possible in that one thing that seems to have my affection. During this 30-day period, please grow my love for you. Seek first the kingdom of God because you cannot serve two masters. You can't do it. Father, help us, I pray, please, in this endeavor, our endeavor to live for you in this life. Lord, we have a formidable foe and enemy in the world. You warned us about it. So many places, and Lord, even the book of James, I didn't even think of that scripture till now, that tells us that the friendship of this world is enmity with you. Oh, God, help us. We're in the world, but we're not a part of it. We're supposed to be a light to the world, but Lord, please help us to guard its power to grab our affection and choke out the fruit-bearing potential of your good book. Please.
Help us to grow in love for you. Well, thank you for it. Thank you for your book. Even, Lord, when it digs deep, it's good for us. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.